underneath the concrete jungle of Kalamazoo. Anarchy on the airway.
The People's Power Hour on 89.1 WIDR.
Now, he's a spoiled brat. Tried the nice guy who replaced him cooperating with the president.
We are back. You are listening to the People's Power Hour on 89.1 WIDR Kalamazoo. And in fact, we are joined by Boone Shear from Inside the Zoo magazine.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. You guys.
We've kind of had a hectic Thanksgiving ordeal. So,
and so is anyone who has gotten on the roads this day. So.
Yeah, it's getting super bad.
Yeah.
Glad you can make it. So I guess let's just start right off. What are your thoughts on the city elections that happened?
The outcome.
I was heavily involved with the city elections, so I'm disappointed in the outcome, to say the least. I was ostensibly the campaign manager for David Juarez. Is this close enough?
Yeah, that's okay. Good. Yeah, you're great.
But I also worked on Tim Burch's and Don Cooney's campaigns. I think those guys were in here, right?
They were, yeah.
We had all three.
So they had basically the same campaign. They were running the campaigns together, out of the same office, had basically the same message, a little bit, you know, different, but ran it as closely as possible. So I worked on all three of those campaigns. And with Don, I think we were all very excited and pleased and happy with the outcome. Does everybody know Don Cooney? Most of you are listening public.
Yes.
Yeah. Don, okay. And Don did better than he ever has in any election. These past two elections, over the past two terms, he's really like gone from being like this sort of marginal figure to having really broad support. I mean, he was top three vote getter in almost every single precinct. And he came in third. He was in 400 votes of actually being mayor, which, you know, is amazing considering, like, you know, he had such a hard time getting on in the first place. David, we were happy with David Juarez's outcome as well, in certain respects. He got more votes than we had anticipated. He did better, in fact, than he did his first time around. He was an incumbent as well, but he just missed out, and he was 300 votes away. We thought, and with Tim Burch, we were all very, very disappointed, and there's a number of factors we can point to with David, I think, that I can talk about that might be a nice bridge into the Kalamazoo County Growth Plan. But with Tim, we haven't been able to really figure out what happened. I mean, Tim's message was fantastic. He was great in the candidate forums. I mean, I think the only thing that we can figure is just that most of the people who voted in Kalamazoo either were unaware of his message or didn't like it.
I'm gonna say that, so they were just unaware.
That would be like the optimistic way to look at it, I think. Or sort of pessimistic. So David, I think, didn't... So I don't know if we can even really talk about why Tim didn't get elected. He was so far off from what we thought. And he had great performances. I think we ran the campaign pretty well. It's difficult to explain. He was the last... I shouldn't say serious candidate, but he was the last candidate of the candidates that had a chance of getting on. He received the least votes. He was 12th. We thought the winning... total to just get on the city commission would be about 2,500 votes. 2 years ago, it was around 3,000, and because there was 17 people, running, we thought that the vote total would be less. And then if we got 2,500 votes, then that would work. And we thought for sure David would get on. I did. And I thought that Tim would be borderline. I thought he'd get about 2,500 votes and maybe sneak on, just because it's his first time running, doesn't have a lot of name appeal. But Tim got about 2,000, so he was 500 votes off from what we thought. And the actual total, I think, to get on ended up being like 3,300, which was Sean McCann. He was the last one. So David didn't get on, I think, for three big reasons we can point to. One is, and we can talk about this a little bit, is just the election system itself. And the election system is an at-large voting system, right, which means there's no wards. And historically, this has created really terrible political inequalities. Since 1959, when the neighborhoods in Kalamazoo are kind of demographically the same shape that they are now, there have only been 5 city commissioners from the most working-class neighborhoods in Kalamazoo. So that's Edison, East Side, the North Side, and Oakwood. And David was one of those. And it's very, very difficult for people to get on from working class neighborhoods in an at-large voting system, because voter turnout tends to be much higher in the wealthy neighborhoods, right? So if you don't have wards, if you don't have individual neighborhoods or districts where there's individual campaigns going on, separate campaigns going on, if we had a ward system like most cities in Michigan who try to correct for these inequalities, like pretty much every city the same size as Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, Grand Rapids, Jackson, blah, blah, have some sort of ward system. And which means, in theory, that there's representation for different groups in Kalamazoo, different interests in Kalamazoo, right? So it's very difficult to overcome that. Dave was able to get on the first time because we tied him very, very closely to Don Cooney's campaign, and so a lot of Don's supporters voted for Dave. Also, Dave's a strong candidate, too. So, but that was kind of the strategy. And the turnout is so, like, for example, David did much better than he did previously on the north side. In precincts 7, 8, and 9, which are the three north side precincts, David came in either third or fourth. Third in two of those precincts and fourth in another precinct. And Edison, he was, Don and he were 1 and 2. On the east side, he did well. In Vine, he did well. In Winchell, in Bronson, and in West Edge Hill, he did terrible. And those neighborhoods, there's an incredibly high turnout rate, right? There's like 25% turnout rate in those three main precincts. And there's also a really high turnout with absentee voters, which also tends to be like older, white, wealthier people, right? So the whitest and wealthiest neighborhoods have high turnout, and that's kind of the story of the history of like political inequality in Kalamazoo. So that was one thing that David had a problem overcoming. On the north side in Edison, right, turnout's like about 10% of registered voters, we're talking about registered voters. So that was a problem, and that was something that just he wasn't able to overcome. The second thing, and this kind of leads into the Kalamazoo County Growth Plan, was that COMPAC, which is a political action committee that has ties to Southwest Michigan First, which is the development organization that's pushing the Kalamazoo County Growth Plan, put a lot of money into this campaign. It was a really, like, serious, hardball political campaign. And that's not what we experienced, or at least that's not what I experienced 2 years ago when I was working on David's campaign. It was a whole different deal. They put thousands of dollars into the campaign. They had a slate of six candidates, right, which were Balkama, McKinney, Barb Miller, Armando Romero, Jim Neen. Who am I missing? One person. Oh, and Dave Anderson. And those were the six
that got on.
Yeah. Well, not all those guys got on, but two people who I think had no business of even coming close, judging by their performances in the candidate forums and by their messages and on their qualifications, Armando Romero and Jim Neen came really, really close. They were both like right around 3,000 votes. And so it really shows you like the incredible power that just like a bunch of money has putting into local politics. And COMPAC put in way more money than any other single donor. And they put billboards all over town, right? And they put people together. One of the funniest billboards was one of Jim Neen and Dave Anderson. I think it was on Park, or maybe which one goes into Northside one way? Park, right?
I think so. Is it Park?
I don't know. Park or Westridge, whatever. But there was a giant billboard of Jim, like these two, you know, towering white men, right? As you were driving like onto the north side, Jim Neen and Dave Anderson, big thumbs up. But yeah, so that was powerful, you know. And the final thing was the Kalamazoo Gazette endorsing Armando Romero, who was the other Hispanic candidate running, and that pretty much killed it for David right there. I mean, he was still 300 votes away, but even if he hadn't gotten endorsed by the Gazette, which we weren't sure if that was going to happen or not, if it was somebody else that had gotten endorsed, if it wasn't Armando Romero, that wouldn't have affected him as well. And he still would have gotten on, I think, if that wasn't the endorsement. Plus, the Gazette not only didn't endorse him, but they panned him in like a side article. And they portrayed Armando Romero, who I know and is like a nice guy, you know, but they portrayed him in the same way that like David, like they pretty much appropriated David's message, which is like bridge builder, person who reaches out across communities, right? And like said, well, this is Armando Romero, this is this guy. I mean, you know, David Juarez is that guy. He's shown that over the past, you know, 4 years, right?
Maybe they just got the names wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. So, I mean, it was really, you know, mixed feelings, I think, for everybody that worked on the campaign. Seeing Don do so well, seeing David actually do well, but just not get on just the way that the votes were split. And then, like, you know, it's just so frustrating to me. Like, Tim was the star of the candidate forums. Did you guys go to the Western's candidate forum? And he was so strong there, you know?
I didn't go to the forum, but when he was on the show, he was very strong. And I don't know, hearing some of the other candidates, Tim was very strong in comparison, I'd say.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I mean, I guess it just shows you that the candidate forums really don't mean a whole lot. And I think that people get elected mainly on the Kalamazoo Gazette's endorsement and, like,
or those, kind of, you know, little signs in the yards.
Yard signs and the towering billboards, probably. Right,
yeah.
So it was disappointing. So, we can kind of talk about the Kalamazoo County growth plan if you want. Again, that's tied to Southwest Michigan First. And the reason, well, I don't know if this is, I mean, you can imagine that one of the reasons that they were pushing so hard for a particular slate of candidates, or that Compaq was pushing so hard, and they do have ties to Southwest Michigan First, is because there's a need for regional growth. I mean, there's a need for some sort of change in Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo has, like, all the, I mean, there's no doubt about it that Kalamazoo needs, you know, to be involved in some sort of regional growth. Kalamazoo has, like, somewhere between a 25 and 30% poverty rate, 25% around at the last census. The mayor said in the paper, I think, that it was about 28% now, like a month ago or something. There's homelessness, increasing homelessness, failing schools, although perhaps that will change with the Kalamazoo promise, right? A total lack of affordable housing, people leaving the city. I mean, for like 7 years now, there's been a loss of population. Pfizer's, you know, has this eventually, I would imagine, they're going to be pretty much entirely gone from Kalamazoo, having this, like, real steady progression of leaving. So Kalamazoo has all these really terrible problems, and there needs to be some sort of regional growth, I would think. The idea is that the region is not going to prosper if the city core doesn't prosper, right? That's, like, what most sort of, like, urban economists would say, I would think. And I think people agree on that. But the Kalamazoo County growth plan, I think, is problematic for a number of reasons. The first, which, like, is the argument that I would use for people, but it doesn't seem to have a whole lot of impact, is, and this to me is, like, the most important argument, is that it wasn't developed with very much Democratic input. It's Southwest Michigan First development project, right? There were some elected officials that were involved, but those elected officials, you know, have really, really close ties to Southwest Michigan First, and are, so it's, like, you know, basically it's a developed economic and social policy that was developed by the business community, and they're trying to implement it, right, without any sort of, like, Democratic input going on, or with not very much Democratic input. And to me, that's, like, the biggest problem. Like, whether or not it's, like, the best plan in the world, we should still have, like, some sort of democracy. I mean, it seems like. But that doesn't seem like really to have a whole lot of impact on a lot of people. But the next biggest problem is that it's not good. It's it's calling for privatization. It's calling for selling off of public land. It's calling for decreasing benefits for city employees, right? If it is going to help the region and Kalamazoo, it's doing it at the expense of working class people, right? And I think that's really terrible. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I think you've got a definite point, and I don't know. It just seems I don't know. It seems
like a problem that, like, how few people actually know about what's going on. Like, I mean, like, we're talking about it and stuff, and we know about, because we're, like, we have interviews and people come in and stuff. But, like, if we weren't on the show or listening to the show, we wouldn't know, per se, that there was anything going on at all in the business community like this, you know, where they're looking to, like, you know, undermine us in a way, you know, at least so many people.
It's very interesting to me that the same people that are dumping money into candidates are the people that, you know, want to do things like this, like the $70 million development project that we don't really want to go much into, but we talked about it on the show, and I don't know, it just seems more and more like, I don't know, Greenleaf Trust and Mr. DeNoyer same guys, the usual suspects come in, and I don't know. I would definitely agree that something has to change, but I think you're right. I think the ruining of the working class is
it seems like they should strengthen that part specifically,
exactly.
Instead of like kicking it while it's down, which is kind of like what it seems like is going on anyways.
And I guess,
you know, I mean, I don't know, like, I think that a lot of people that are involved with this plan that have developed this policy work really hard, and they are probably good people, and they think that what they're doing is going to help Kalamazoo. You know, I don't think it's like necessarily like this nefarious thing, right? But yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, that's like that's neoliberalism, right? That's like how people think that that growth and development and like economic prosperity happen. I mean, not even, you know, people think that growth needs to happen, and development, a particular type of growth, a particular type of development needs to happen in order for people to be happy. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess as long as we're talking about growth and you mentioned the decreasing population. Do you think the Kalamazoo Promise will bring people in and bring, you know, a stronger working class kind of people to Kalamazoo? Or, I mean, do you think that'll be a benefit for people to stay at least?
Well, I think the Kalamazoo Promise is a really nice thing. I mean, I think it's really nice that people did it, and it seems to be pretty generous. I mean, we don't know exactly what how this is going to be funded yet. Like what that funding is going to look like. But regardless, it's a pretty nice thing, and it certainly will help some people. I think that it will, for sure, within the region, bring more – everybody that's already sort of settled in the region, I think it will bring more people to Kalamazoo, which puts Kalamazoo in a better bargaining position, right? But bargaining position in terms of like any sort of regional growth that does happen. But that's not even necessarily entirely true. I think really who it's going to benefit the most are developers in Oshimo, because the Kalamazoo Public School District goes beyond just the borders of Kalamazoo City. It goes into Oshimo, some places in Portage, and it's a lot more profitable to develop in Oshimo than it is in Kalamazoo. It's very expensive to develop in Kalamazoo. And I think it's going to be real bonanza, development bonanza for developers in Oshimo. So that's one thing. But I do think that, yeah, certainly people in the area who are considering leaving, or maybe who, you know, are in other districts in the area, probably will bring them to Kalamazoo. And I have some like anecdotal evidence of that already. You guys probably do too, just talking to people. One faculty member in the anthropology department that I know, probably shouldn't have said that, one faculty member that I know in some department somewhere, was planning on moving to another municipality in the region. And in fact, like, had I'm not sure if he like had actually put something down in the house, but was like really close to doing it. And then this Kalamazoo Promise was dropped, and they moved back in. Now this guy has, I think, 5 kids. You know, and it'd be very difficult. I mean, you know, he's a middle class guy. It'd be very difficult for him to pay for all his kids to go to college. And now this will take care of that largely. And I mean, that's good. There's no denying the fact that that's good. Now I'm not convinced it's going to have all of these dramatic impacts on growth and development that some people are claiming. I mean, I'm not sure like why this would necessarily be a bigger, like, I'm not sure that this is a bigger incentive for business locating to a particular area than like millions of dollars of tax abatements. Like, why would corporate ownership care if they're, I mean, unless they're like, maybe I'm being really pessimistic about it, maybe cynical about it, maybe they really do care, but I'm not sure why they would care more about like having their janitor's kids be able to go to college for free than they would like millions of dollars of tax payments. I don't know. And I'm not sure it's going to just like bring tons of people from outside of the region here. I mean, there's no jobs here. I mean, maybe like way down the road, I mean, I guess the idea is that like, you know, that somehow this generates more and more activity, and this will like
the snowball effect.
Yeah,
maybe
like something will emerge out of this. And maybe, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime in the near future. And I think the other thing that probably will do is it probably will improve Kalamazoo Public Schools to some extent, I would think, because you're going to have more people going to the schools, more middle class people going to the schools, more people who are able to have the time and money to put some efforts into And in theory, maybe better.
In theory, you should also put more money from those people that are more people going to those schools.
Right.
Should put more money in those actually schools,
absolutely.
Not just college, but like improving like things like I don't know anything like smaller classrooms, maybe for you know something like that. More teachers,
which would be great.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It will also be interesting to see like what sort of like discursive impacts this will have too. I mean, people are already talking about it. There's a quote in the paper.
Here, let me find this while you guys are.
Let's see if I can find this today. There was a quote in the paper that I thought was pretty telling. Okay, this Kimberly Relicky from Portage says about the Kalamazoo Promise, quote, "I am angered at the Kalamazoo Promise. Why use financial gain to boost a poor school district when you could benefit students who really care in other school districts in Kalamazoo County?"
Wow.
But, I mean, I think that what she's saying there, which is, you know, just, like, despicable, that somehow, like, people who aren't as white or aren't as wealthy as her, like, don't care about school as much. But I think that what she's saying there is I think it's what a lot of people think, right? That one of the reasons that kids don't do well in schools one of the reasons that lower income and some lower income minorities don't do as well in school as middle class white kids is because there's something wrong with them. Either they're lazy or they don't care or their culture is backwards or something, right? And I think that people are already sort of like latching on to that. I mean, you can hear people talking about like, well, you know, now if they don't do well in school, they have all these opportunities right in front of them. They're going to have their college paid for. I'm not, well, that, there's something really wrong with them. Now they have no excuse now, right?
Mm.
And it doesn't really address the Kalamazoo Promise. And not that it should. I mean, it is what it is. But it doesn't address structural inequalities, institutional inequalities, right? It doesn't address the fact that maybe some lower income kid doesn't have the type of family support because their parents are working three jobs, right, and don't have the time to spend with them to help them with their school. Or, like, as a 2003 report that was done by some people at Western says that, like, over half of the poor families in Kalamazoo can't buy groceries sometimes during the year. And that, like, I think it's like 20% of poor families sometimes go hungry, right? I mean, that's not going to help your education, right? So it doesn't address any of those things. And I'm not saying it should. I'm just saying that I think that people are already talking about it, right?
Right.
Like that it's going to be like this huge, like, it's like social power. It's like social, this great social welfare, right? And it might, yeah. So I don't mean to like criticize it exactly because it's good.
I think we get your point.
Yeah.
And you know, you make a lot of points that are very valid, or seem so to me. I think it doesn't really address that, and I think you're right. I mean, Oshtemo and other places in the school district are more valuable to develop, more apt to bring, I don't know, people who live in Texas Township, for example, into KPS and things like that. But I agree. There is a lot of hype, and there is something there to be excited about. But I do agree that maybe it's not everything that I don't know. Some people would like it to be, or think it to be. But
yeah. And here's like one more thing that maybe I shouldn't say, but I mean, just like the fact that we have three billionaires living in the Kalamazoo area. And we have like 25% to 30% poverty rate. Should like tell? I mean, I don't know if it's the three billionaires that are involved. We have very, very wealthy people living in this city, right? Who are really generous and are giving money to help some people and to help out KPS, and that's fantastic. But I mean, shouldn't like? Doesn't that say something about our government that like that can't be like public policy? I mean, why can't we have that? Like, why can't public policy that? Why couldn't that have been a democratic effort? Why couldn't we? I mean, it's not like it's unprecedented. Kalamazoo or Indiana has this Indiana Scholars program that's merit based that guarantees university higher education for people who stay above a certain grade point average and stay out of drugs or something, right? And that's like public policy. Now, that's not perfect either. You can critique that too. But, I mean, Georgia has something similar as well. And why couldn't have that happened? Why is it that we need to rely on, like,
the angels from the sky,
these
or whatever,
huge, yeah, like, super wealthy benefactors, right? Not that it's not great. It is. It's really great, and they're really nice.
All right. And if you're just tuning in, we've got Boone Shear from Inside the Zoo. Do you want to talk about your magazine a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, and then I should probably go. Inside the Zoo has been around now for almost 2 years, and we started because we wanted to provide a space for views that haven't been represented, that weren't being represented in the mainstream press, in the Gazette, and we wanted to provide a space for that. What we're trying to do is to provide a critical analysis of events that are shaping Kalamazoo, local events that are shaping Kalamazoo, like stuff we've been talking about tonight, global events that are impacting Kalamazoo locally. And it's not just the another point of it is that we wanted to have a real mixture of people that were writing for the magazine. So when it was started, we started it with students, faculty, and community members as well. So it's this community project, right? And there are people who are regular contributors, but we also actively solicit and just accept too submissions. And you don't have to be a great writer. There are some great writers that have written stuff. There's also some mediocre writers, and there are people who aren't great writers, and we've worked with them to develop their articles. So you don't have to be a great writer. And you can submit an idea. You could submit an article that you think is really rough, and people can work with you on it. I guess I'm encouraging anybody who's listening to please feel free to submit articles. We do have a particular political perspective, so you might want to read it first and see if that's something you want to follow, because we probably aren't going to print right-wing reactionary articles on that. I don't know, maybe we would, but then we'd probably write an article right after it critiquing it. You can go to www.insidethezoo.com, and there's information there about how to do that. It's free. We're keeping it free, but if you want a subscription to it, because they go really fast when we put them out, if you want a subscription, you can do that. You can also do that. You can find an address on our website and send us some, I think it's $15 for a year's worth.
Where can you pick them up?
You can pick them up. Excuse me. You can pick them up at Michigan News, People's Food Co-op, different coffee shops, Water Street, Rocket Star Cafe, I don't know, all over the place.
Okay, cool.
Martini's, Fourth Coast Coffee, right, we put them out everywhere. So, we probably won't have, they come out almost monthly, but we probably won't have another one out until January, because we had two that were real quick, 2 weeks apart. So be looking for that, and think about contributing to it if people are listening. And you can check out past issues in our archives on our website, www.insidethezoo.com.
All right, Boone Shear, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks very much.